Blog Talk Radio.
I can't complain. Just seen a man on the corner begging for some change. Trying to feed his daughter. I can't complain. Grandmama said he getting older, but she deal with arthritis like a soldier. I can't complain. My neighbor husband something in the face. Another place, I can't complain. It always be worse than what it is. So be happy with the life you live. This is not what I signed up for. I sold drugs and shotguns just to wind up poor. See my close friend get killed behind his love for a whore. I guess our hearts ain't filled to house the people we store. So we smoke a little loud and clean the blood off the floor. Cause nowadays men are proud to say that kid ain't yours, but mine neither. And somebody gotta be the leader. Who's really winning if everybody's cheaters? Ever seen a dope fiend going through the fever? Just a ghost from my Christmas past, Ebenezer. Jeff around that corner, we running from the Reaper. I mean, Jeff around that corner and he coming with the sleeper. Cause Ted ran his mouth and said he fucked this girl Felicia. This is everyday coffee and I ain't even add the creamer. My hood is so messy, one time for Argentina. My nigga served a century and ain't responding to the subpoena.
I can't complain. Just seen a man on the corner begging for some change. Trying to feed his daughter, I can't complain. My grandmama said he getting older, but she deal with arthritis like a soldier. I can't complain. My neighbor husband something in the face, and she don't handle family or money to get another place. I can't complain. It could always be worse than what it is, so be happy with the life you live.
I told my man, don't go believing the word of them sluts. Organize your priorities, put your money in front. So if you die, greatness will be the last thing that you touch. And for your kids, opportunities, doors will never be shut. This for the future. I know everybody respect the shooter, but I admire the guy who ordered the hit and paid for the lawyer. Shit, this is bigger than the corner. I'm talking about a 600,000 split Boyer out in Aura. Lando, crystals on my chandelier. Where the image of a champo done. None of y'all had a sample of what I had to handle. Her when the capsules, dope fiends that rambo and scrambled to police. Had a pissed off uncle cause I sold it to his niece. Had them hitters run up on me, try to shoot me from a jeep. Cause where I'm from, the collateral damage is never cheap.
I can't complain. Just seen a man on the corner begging for some change. Trying to feed his daughter, I can't complain. My grandmama said he getting older, but she deal with arthritis like a soldier. I can't complain. My neighbor husband something in the face, and she don't handle family or money to get another place. I can't complain. It could always be worse than what it is, so be happy with the life you live.
Yes, good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. This is a Indy Morrell production, Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. I'm here with my co-host, Martin C. Martin, you want to come on in and introduce yourself?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? What's going on, James?
Well, everything is good. Nice and warm up here in New York. Matter of fact, it's interestingly warm, and I'm loving it.
Man, it is exceedingly hot in the ATL.
I guess
Atlanta.
So. It's always hot down there.
Hot.
I can imagine. Well, I would call that. Well, I was there in the South, stationed in the military, and I would say that the heat down there is brutal. I mean, actually brutal. That's something different from heat. But okay, so let's go on with the show here. Okay, we're not going to have our Dollhouse announcements tonight, according to Angela. And I was also informed that we are going to be off next weekend, next Sunday, for the Father's Day Sunday, or I guess Father's Day weekend.
Right.
Okay, it's always good to be off from work. Well, it's work, but it's good work.
There you go.
Yes. So the topics for tonight are basically going to be the same topics that we had for last week, which we didn't have the show last week. So we're going to have those topics, and one of them among others, is going to be the Bruce Jenner, a.k.a. Caitlyn, situation. And another will be the brutal pool party arrest of black teens. That's what I term the brutal pool party arrest of black teens. And then also one that has been trending on Facebook, at least, I guess on Twitter also, I'm more on Facebook than on Twitter, is the Spokane, Washington NAACP president, the woman who thinks she's black. But okay, but before we go into that, let's come back. I want to come back to the topic of the brutal pool party arrest there in McKinney, Texas, concerning that situation.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen the video. By now, I'm quite sure everyone has seen that.
Oh, yeah.
that horrific video.
Yeah, I saw that video. I think everyone saw the video. And as a matter of fact, I saw clips of it. And then, of course, it went viral on social media, and everybody's posting, like, snippets of the video. And, you know, James, you know how I am. In situations like this, I'm always the one that's, let's sit back. I'm not one to jump, you know, into things real quickly. I'm going to sit up. I'm going to wait. I'm going to watch. I want more information. I always want more information. I'm not one to just, you know, okay, I see something. I'm going to react to it. It's not good. What I saw wasn't pleasing to my eye, and that's just an understatement. What I saw, like you said, was shocking. But like I said, I needed to see more. I wanted to see if there is a full video. There's part of the video that we didn't get to see. Was it something that happened before the video was shown, after the video? I mean, I just needed more information.
Well, I can.
That's
how
I approach things.
I can follow what you're saying there. I mean, more information in the sense of what actually led up to this, no doubt. That's what you're saying, correct, and or indicating, correct?
Yeah, pretty much.
Uh-huh. But even aside, I come from this position on this, you know, just viewing the video initially without, I guess I'll say without any information, being that you phrase it as you did. Now, me, seeing that young girl, excuse me, I'm also getting over a cold right now, so you might hear that from me, unfortunately, somewhat often tonight as we're talking. But anyway, myself, upon initially viewing that video, which was posted to my Facebook page, I mean, when I first saw it, well, neither here nor there, but I screamed. I mean, really, when I seen the way that cop was trashing that little girl. I'm going to say, yes, that little girl. I didn't know how old she was at that point in time, but I knew she was little, especially compared to that cop who was throwing her around like a rag doll as he was. Now, having had said that, I mean, I don't need any more information to know that something should be done to that cop.
Yeah.
That's my standpoint on there. I don't need any more information. I mean, because it's obvious that this person has exceeded his authority, his bounds of, for lack of a better word, propriety. I mean, what can be in his mind to do a girl, a young girl, a child, as he had done her, you know? But now, falling back on information that began to come out later, the situation gets, well, it gets somewhat...
Context,
but then
yeah.
Again, the context is confusing because you have some people saying that the people there at that pool had no right to be there. Then you have other people coming out and saying that they did have a right to be there because it was an invitational pool party.
You know something, Jay? And I'm going to take this in a completely different location because the information that I got later on, a few days later, and I always want to know. I don't just think that cops are just out here wilding out on folks.
You
I don't believe that. I don't. And the reason I say that is because I have cops in my family. I know
mm-hmm.
cops. White, black, Hispanic, they run the gamut. And then I got the information that started to bring it even deeper into context. The cop right before he came up to this pool party, he was assigned, he had just came from a suicide. Someone had committed suicide while he was there. And that to me was a red flag. Why in the world was this cop sent on another call after just witnessing what he witnessed? This man's emotions were on not even 100. This man's emotions were probably on 50, on 200, back down to 80, back up to 300, back down to 20. You see what I'm saying?
I do, but this is where
I feel that the true crux of what I want to come out of these situations is that we need more training for these officers, because there's no way that this guy should have been allowed to go on a domestic or any call whatsoever. I don't even care if it's a traffic incident. After he witnessed what he witnessed, and this is why I tell people, I understand your anger, but remember who these are police officers, but these are human beings, and they're seeing some of the worst stuff. And my thing is this, somebody in command should have said, you know something, Jim, right now we're going to assign you to a desk. We're going to have you go talk to the psychologist. We need, like, when you're bringing somebody who's been deep diving, we need to put you in a decompression chamber. Because somebody going on a call after seeing what he saw, you go on a call, just a random domestic situation, bunch of teenagers acting up, and then all of a sudden somebody comes up to you, you give them a command, they're not following, you get surrounded, you get started getting yelled at, and then all of a sudden this guy who might ordinarily not have overreacted, all of a sudden this guy who's on 100 to begin with, he's pushed beyond a point that ordinarily probably would never have happened. Because apparently this guy doesn't have, they looked at his record. His record isn't one where this guy's been wilding out in the past. But my thing is this, I was thinking that too when I saw this case. I'm like, look at the way this dude is treating this little girl. Did you see in the part of the video, James, where he was, when he pulled his gun out and the other cop grabbed him, and almost like the cop was looking at him like, what's going on? The other cops even recognized this guy, he was there, but he wasn't there. And I kind of, after hearing this information, went back and looked at the video. It's almost like this guy, he was there, but he wasn't there.
Okay, I hear what you're saying there, but then again, that last part that you had said when another cop came up and grabbed him, I didn't actually see. But like, listen, as I'm going to put it, I didn't actually see. But okay, but I didn't actually see his partner grab, well, the other cop grab his arm. I more so saw him like kind of like touch his arm as if, or even pat
exactly,
his arm, like you know,
like
hey,
dude,
hey, hey,
like what are you doing? The guy, and if you look at the look on the other cop's face, the cop was like, what's going on? It's almost like the cop was like, dude, it's not that serious.
Well, but that's just it. That cop who is the star, let me say the protagonist in all this, did in fact take it that serious. So like it revolves back onto the question as to what really is in that guy's head. I mean, granted.
This to me, it's a training situation.
You say
these
training.
It's a training situation. I think that these guys really need to be, there has to, and I, number one, need to be paid more, number one. Number two, their benefits need to be beefed up. In lieu of paying these guys more, their benefits, especially the psychological, training of these officers needs to be better. All right, like I say, somebody who just came from a suicide or something where a child was molested or murdered, those cops do not, I'm sorry, they need to be benched.
Okay, but right now, Martin, we have to go into our first music break. It's 15 minutes to the hour. And the first song that we're going to hear here is from Jimmy Lenar. That's Jimmy Lenar, L-E-N-N-A-R. The song is called Slim Dizzle. Jimmy Lenar, Slim Dizzle. Here we go.
Slim!
To Dollhouse Radio. You listen to Urban Society, and we just heard the song from Jimmy Lenar entitled Slim Dizzle. That's Jimmy Lenar, Slim Dizzle. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And call in and talk to us. Also, when you do call in, and if you want to talk, you must press 1. If you don't press 1, you will only be in listening mode. So, come back to the issue at hand, the conversation at hand. We're talking about the McKinney Pool situation there in Texas and that out-of-control cop. What I'm saying is, yes, out-of-control cop. And I understand what you're saying, Martin, when you talk about, you know, the psychological situation, especially in terms of perhaps having had those other calls. And I will say that is, even if he did have those other calls, we don't know this for sure. All we know is that this is what we are told. And then again, as we are finding out more and more, cops lie like rugs, and no doubt so will their lawyers. I'm saying that because I totally do not trust them. I mean, granted, I will say that there are some, because I would say it's only logical that there are some who do their jobs as their job should be done. But then again, I won't even say that you have those few bad apples. I will say that you have a lot of them who shouldn't be cops at all. And that's That's just
and
a fact.
You know something, and I agree with you that there's some that should be. And you know something, I always preface this with that question, with the question. And I wanted to pose this question to everybody that's listening. How many of you would be a cop?
Oh, well, you're asking me that question as well?
No, you can answer it, of course, James.
Well, no,
I'm just saying, I want to pose that to the audience. How many of you would be a cop? I already know my answer.
Okay, what would your answer be? Just curious.
To be honest with you, with what police officers have to put up with, that every day that you leave your house, you don't know if you're going to come back alive just by a simple traffic stop, I couldn't be a cop. Honestly, I couldn't. It's in the words of the famous fictional police officer Joe Friday in the TV show Dragnet, it's a thankless, honorless job. It doesn't pay well, but the thing is, and this is what I tell people all the time, and especially those I have some friends who are fervently anti-cop. I hope they're listening to the show tonight. I tell them this. What's the alternative?
To no police?
We've seen the police in Baltimore as far as I'm concerned, they've mutinied.
Well,
they're not following the direction of the mayor police commissioner.
Well,
they have mutinied.
I hear what you're saying there, but then again, I mean, in a how can I put it? I'll even say in a trustworthy organization, a organization that is geared toward, let me say, even I'll just bring up the word. I don't want to really use the word an organization having integrity and all those other things concerning proper policies and like proper policing and then also proper structuring and all these things. What I would say is that in reference to those police people who don't want to do their jobs and or are not doing their jobs, as you brought up there in Baltimore or anywhere in the world, or more so not even police people, but just anybody who has a job but they don't want to do their job, I mean, it's obvious that they should be fired. They should just be fired, and I mean, there shouldn't be any they should be. I'll put it this way because it's somewhat convoluted to even go where I was going. But then again, those cops should be called in. I mean, individually or in mass, and told, look, if you don't want to do your job, that means then that you don't want a job. See ya, and out of there. That's the way it should be. But unfortunately, that's not the way it is. The way it
is exactly.
The way it is.
But you know why the way that is, James?
Well, there is more than one reason why it is the way it is.
Yeah,
There's more than one reason.
Yeah, give me your reasons. I'm curious to know.
Okay, one reason I think would be because the policing structure isn't correct. I mean, it can't be correct in the sense when it comes to black people. It can't be correct in the sense when it comes to black people, the police have a policy of whatever their policy is, stop and frisk. Just totally disregard that individual's constitutional rights just because their skin isn't white. I mean, come on, so that's not proper right there. So that's a problem right there. What is the proper policing policy when it comes to, non-white people, we can say, and then specifically black people? What is their real policy? Or even, do they have a policy at all? Or do they just make it up as they go along?
Well, hey, let's think about it this way. We have Baltimore, where the majority of the police department is black. The majority of the city council is black. The mayor is black. The city attorney is black. Police commission is black. Yet we have Freddie Gray.
But okay.
So are we saying that, okay, the policing is incorrect because of who's doing it, or is it incorrect just simply because we have, you know?
Is
because
well,
we have police.
Well, the situation.
My thing is, we're having situations whether the officers are white or black. We're having situations. We're having a lot of people when Ferguson happened. We had a lot of people saying, well, the reason that happened is because we had a racist city council, mostly white. We had a racist police department that was mostly white. We had a white police chief and a white mayor. That was that's what everybody was screaming. I remember that. Black Lives Matter, I remember it. I remember when the movement started.
But listen.
But yet, in Baltimore for 50 years, we have not had those same issues, but yet we have the same problem that occurred.
Well,
where the black man died, where the black man died at the hands of the police.
But like that goes back. That goes back to what many people have been saying, and more people are now saying. The situation, the issue is systemic. It doesn't matter if a black or white face is there.
Exactly.
The problem stems from the directives. That's where the problem is, the directives, wherever they come from. We can say that the directives come from our politicians. I won't say that they must come from our politicians, but then again, evidently, somehow, some way they do. And then again, a case in point, we can even, you know, jump up the ladder and then even talk about Clinton when he was in, making that actual situation wherein three strikes, you're out. And even then, many people were saying that this is an anti-black law, but not many people listened. Not many people listened. But then again, coming back to what we are talking about right now still, the situation is, again, systemic. And it doesn't matter if a black face or white face is there, the policy is still the same. And the thing is, if that black face don't do what that policy stipulates, then that black face will be replaced by another black face and or a white face. And or a Latino face, and or possibly even a Chinese face. So long as they're willing to go along with the program to get along, they are good to go. That's the way the situation is. And then again, that is what has to change. The situation, again, as we have spoken about before, the changes have to come from the top down. From the top down, because evidently it don't work coming from the bottom up, because coming from
right.
the bottom up, those who complain, they're gotten rid of right away. They're considered, actually, what's the term, that negative term? Whistleblowers.
Yeah.
That's a negative term. Like snitches. I mean, that's snitches.
So my thing is this. Then if that's the case, then what you're saying is the case, then the next time in white bread America, we see a situation like this, I better not dare hear the same racial agitators making this a racial thing.
Well, sure you can, and then again,
we cannot, because established.
Established with
that
what?
Guess what? It don't matter. Three of the six officers involved in Freddie Gray's death are black, including the ranking officer in charge. The police commissioner is black. The majority of the police department is black. The mayor is black. The majority of the city council is black.
I hear what you're saying.
So you hear what I'm saying?
You said that before. But then now listen to this, though. The president of the United States is black. The attorney general of the United States is currently black, just as the other one was black. But yet and still, somehow or another, they can't undo, somehow or another, they can't and or are unwilling to undo those unjust laws that have been put in place, even concerning the situation with crack cocaine and then again powder cocaine or whatever, just the prison to what do you call that, the school to prison pipeline, and or just
and you know something, and this is another thing that I actually had to catch people on, because mandatory minimum laws are very, very strong laws based upon powder as opposed to crack cocaine.
But
the thing is, these are not the fact that these laws were passed should not have been a surprise. Who actually signed the law that put in it was an omnibus crime bill. I remember it. He talked about it when he was running for president. He said he was going to enact this when he got into office, and he got over 80% of the black vote. His name was William Jefferson Clinton.
Well, that's okay. It's good you mentioned him.
And guess what? Supreme Court Justice wrote a scathing law review article disavowing mandatory minimums and these sentencing laws concerning crack cocaine. His name is Antonin Scalia. He couldn't be more right-wing Republican that there ever has been on the bench. Yet 80% of the black people, and this man, William Clinton, this is the same guy who executed a retarded kid while he was running for president. He got 80%, over 80% of the black vote. You voted the man into office.
I didn't vote for Clinton, but like,
you,
I just want to say
that. Who gave you the mandatory minimum laws.
But, like, listen.
That,
listen,
to me,
Martin,
is hilarious.
Oh, okay, Martin. It could be hilarious. Perhaps it should be
it's
hilarious.
Irony.
But,
it's called
but,
irony.
But, consider this. You talk about, and or others talk about, you know, he got 80% of the black vote. But then again, consider how many blacks voted for him. And then again, let us just say, okay, mathematically speaking and or numerically speaking, 80% of blacks who voted for him. Concerning the entire black population in this country, I mean, that's another issue there. That's another issue. So then again, who are those 80% that voted for Bill Clinton? I mean, but that's another issue too. It don't really matter. But the thing I'm trying to say here is that it doesn't really matter that Bill Clinton got 80% of the black vote. That don't really matter.
There you go.
Listen. What really does matter is that mindset that is there that would dream up such type legislation. That, well, I'd even say in a sense that, like, that's similar to what was put forth way back in the day during the days of slavery, the fugitive slave bill. That's similar to that. But then again, even concerning then, there were no blacks to vote and or not vote for that and or to vote for the person who would establish some nonsense like that. They weren't there. The racist mindset that was anti-black, but then again, the racist mindset is anti-black. I'm being redundant. But then again, that kind of mindset there,
right,
that was just totally against black people doing anything is here now, and it's the same thing year after year after year. So therefore, coming back to what we were talking about concerning policing and or the police structure, and then again, those policies, it don't matter what face is there, black face or white face. That's not the issue. But then again, superficially, they know that people will see that. And I guess maybe black people in particular, I don't know what it is, but then again, at least some people today are, in fact, waking up and seeing that it don't matter if we're black, especially because Obama is now there and things aren't any better. We are able to see that it don't matter if a black man is there. And if it don't matter, why don't it matter? Something else must be wrong somewhere, because if he can't do what is supposed to be done, what's the problem? Who
right.
can? Who
exactly.
can do what's supposed to be done?
And
then again, coming back, you know, let's bring it down some back to this police person there in McKinney, Texas. Okay? All right. His mindset primarily is actually the way the system has trained him. I would even say that, because he ran up in there, and I mean, some people say, all right, concerning that, I hadn't even known that it was called a barrel roll that he had done. But then again, I've heard it so much now, I guess that's what it is or was, a barrel roll that he had done when he first ran up on the scene. And some people say that, okay, I'm just being somewhat facetious here in saying that. Some people say, okay, well, that barrel roll wasn't necessary. I disagree because the barrel roll was necessary, because the bastard was running so MFing fast that if he didn't barrel roll, he would have fell down anyway. And I guess he didn't want to be embarrassed just falling down running so MFing fast.
Right.
So anyway,
But you know something? I'm so glad that we're having this conversation, James, because if anything, it keeps us from getting to Caitlyn Jenner, which I think is a completely non-story, and I think it's one of two non-stories that I just wasn't feeling this week.
Well, I think it is.
What is her name? The young lady from the NAACP, Sharon Kabizel, or how do you pronounce her name?
I'm not sure right now, but the thing is, though, we will come to that. But again, I'm still. Let's kind of stick with this Texas thing for a minute or two, because still we do know also that like that cop had resigned from the force, stating that well, basically stating the same thing that MF Darren Wilson said, that he feels that it's the best thing for him to do for the safety of other police personnel in the area, and then again for I guess that policing force there in McKinney, Texas.
Yeah, I had no problem with him resigning. I think that even in his in the statement he made when he seemed like he was remorseful according to his statement. I don't have any problem with him resigning, because my thing is this. The pound of flesh that has been exacted in the media, where is he going to get a job?
It don't matter. He shouldn't have a job.
How is he
going to? Wait a minute, Martin.
But you know something, James? No. Let's stop right there.
Okay, good, because we have to take a break right now. We have to take a break right now.
Let's take a break.
Okay, we have a song right now from Audrey, looks like Jolie. That's Audrey, Jolle, in a song entitled Like It Like That. So from Aunt Audrey Jolila, Like It Like That. Here we go.
Can bet I do it big like the games go from Bed-Stuy. Only need what you're giving, the rest fine. Ain't too proud to beg, that's word the left eye. All alone with a nightcap, with me on the phone having night chat. Always on the road, but I'll be right back. To put it on you though, I know you like that.
Like that. I just like it like that.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to your host, James A. Jones. I'm here with my co-host, Martin C. And we just heard a song from Audrey Jolie. I believe it is.
Like
the last name is spelled Jolie. Because I think it looks similar to Angela Jolie, and that's how she pronounced her name. So I'm pronouncing it as Angela Jolie would pronounce it. So that was Audrey Jolie, Like It Like That. It was okay. Yes, it was. So, okay, our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you call in, do press 1 to talk to myself or my co-host here on Dollhouse Radio, Urban Society. And going back into the conversation here, we were last talking about, well, Martin, you feel that that enough is enough for this cop having done what he did.
Yeah, you know,
saying that.
I mean, the thing is, he admitted he's wrong. He does not have a job anymore. He probably will not get another job being a cop ever again.
That's a probably, but not necessarily.
Yeah, not necessarily. I'll just say this. Anybody who hires him, number one, this isn't like the good old days where we didn't have the internet. Wherever this guy lands, somebody's going to find out. But my thing is this. If this guy gets a job at the local Walmart watching a security monitor, I have no problem with that. Everybody deserves to feed their family. Everybody's made mistakes. I don't think that should just that okay. That's it for you, for the rest of your life. That's it.
Well,
you're done.
that is said for for so many, as we know, based upon that that street three strike thing, and then again even just the laws themselves that end up putting people in prison, and then again, as it is said, you know, there are more blacks in prison than any other group in the population.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so come on. I mean, you're saying that. I understand you saying that. But then again, that should be said broadly as well, not just when it comes to cops.
Oh, I mean that for anybody.
But also listen.
I think that anybody who has committed a crime has done their time. I have several friends who have done crimes and done their time, and one of them now he's getting his further education. He's helping other brothers transition out and to become productive members of society.
Okay, but like that's another issue of a person having...
And you know what he did? What he did was way worse than what that cop did.
But okay, but that's another issue, Martin, of a person having done his time, which would indicate that the person had gone through the justice system, had been arrested for a crime, had gone to court, had been convicted for the crime that it was said he had done. Now he's in prison. Now he's getting out. But like the issue that we're talking about here is, okay, concerning police people in particular, it happens over and over again. They commit these crimes, and then again, nothing happens to them. They don't do no time.
And that is not the case.
But every case,
and that's the thing, and this is what we want to be careful. Not every case of a cop doing something wrong.
All right, you say not
every case. South Carolina, the cop is on trial right now.
Okay.
Every situation, and I'm sure that if you go on the internet right now and Google, you'll find many situations where you have many cops. The Rampart situation in Los Angeles, there were a lot of dirty cops went to jail. So it's not like every cop is getting away with something.
But listen,
that's not the case.
But listen, that's another issue about cops going to jail or not, and then again, what they went to jail for should be an issue too. But then again, I'm also concerned about these issues that are blown up in our faces of, you know, well, just this situation right here, the way this police person just trashed that child the way he did. Now, okay, you say that, okay, enough, and then again, not just you, but then again, others have said, you know, enough is enough, let it be done. He resigned, let it stop there. No, this guy actually committed a crime on a juvenile. And then again, the way this society goes today, you know, put your hands on a child, instant jail. Even the parent,
even
if a parent put their hands on their own child, they are basically arrested. But then again, now we have this cop who's just going to trash that girl.
I'll say this. If you look at that tape in its entirety, you go by the regulations, cop's not going to get charged with anything.
Well,
he's
okay,
not.
But that's another issue there.
He's not going to get charged. Not only is he not going to get charged with anything, I even think that a civil suit is a little iffy. And here's the simple reason why. When that cop approached her and told her, gave her a command to sit down, and she didn't do so, and then when he asked her, you know, he gave her direction to do something in that situation, and then you had those guys come and surround him, he had the right, under the law and under the regulations, he had the right to basically put her down.
Well, I'll put it this way.
And you know something, I'll say this. The police chief down there, he's saying what he has to say. But even he knows that cop being fired is all that's going to happen to him as it goes to criminal.
No, he resigned. He wasn't fired.
Yeah,
he resigned.
Yeah, he resigned.
If he even would have been fired. Because
it has to go through a process. Just like the officers in Baltimore, it has to go through a process. And unfortunately, what people have, and this is where people need to educate themselves on the law, on the rules, on the regulations, just because they're a police officer, they're not governed under the same rules you and I are. And that's what people don't understand. They're not governed under the same rules you and I are. As a matter of fact, people don't understand that officers are never off duty.
But you know what? That has been said time and time again. Whenever one of these issues flare up on national media, okay.
You know something? And
but
here's another issue
but
I
okay,
have.
But Let me finish here, James. Okay, as I'm saying though, that is what has been brought up that like police persons aren't, you know, held to the same standard as the average civilian is. And then again, I can understand that. But by the same token, they are supposed to be conducting themselves on a higher standing than the average civilian is, primarily based upon the position in which they hold. But then again, as we have seen and are seeing in too many of these cases, that is not the situation. Now, okay, well, like you were going to say something, so like let me stop there because I have something else to say concerning him offering an apology. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Okay, so
I want to hear what you're going to say about his apology.
Okay,
good. You would definitely have something strong to say about that. My thing is this, and again, I have to ask people this question: would you want to do this job?
And
the reason I ask this question is because most people who I pose this question to, we discuss McKinney, most of them say, unequivocally, no, I couldn't do their job. They say, I could never do their job. And you know something? I agree. I couldn't do their job either.
But you want to know something,
though? And I find that for every one of these knuckleheads, and I blame this on the media also, because trust me, the media, their agenda in this is quite clear to me. You can put the number of police involved shootings, and I'm not even gonna say involving African Americans, because this is a dirty little statistic that the Justice Department definitely doesn't want everybody to know. There are more police involved shootings with non-African Americans. There have been more non-African Americans in the 2014 involved in police-involved shootings and killed than are African-Americans. But the percentage of African-Americans is higher who have been shot. But the sheer numbers, yeah, it's been more non-African-Americans shot.
But even within that, there are differences there. I won't even use the word nuances because they are just differences there. But
before I let you get that point, whenever I bring that statistic up, the first people say, "Well, those cops usually don't ever get those cops are always prosecuted when they kill." Actually, they're not. There are many cases in these police-involved shootings with non-African Americans. The conviction rate does not change when you change the person's race.
Okay,
meaning,
but
that when you put blacks, when the assailant has been a white officer and has been a black person, the conviction rate is about the same when it's a white officer. I mean, when it's a white person and the officer kills them too. As a matter of fact, there's a lady down in Arizona who's screaming for somebody in the media to come down there and cover the fact that her son was gunned down in the back by a police officer. You know why we don't have the Black Lives Matter coalition down there? You know why we don't have Sharpton or anybody down there? Because this young man that was shot in the back by the white cop, he was white. That's why we don't have that.
This lady can't even
get the local news to cover it. And the sad thing is, had she just had a black son, she would have been on Nightline that night. But because her son, unfortunately, is white, and the cop who shot him was white, guess what? This woman can't even get them to return her calls.
Well, no. Well, like concerning what you're saying there, I will agree that it's sad, depending upon the situation, whatever it was. But then again, no, I can't even say it like that because I don't know the details there because the details haven't been put out. Let me say, as you said, but then again, wrongly, the details have not been put out. If it had been someone black and unarmed who was shot down like that. But again, that's something different there anyway. But also I wanted to say also concerning what you said, concerning your question that you ask people about would they do the job. Okay, that's a fair question. But then a follow-up question ought to be why would you want to do the job of a police person? That should also be a question that's involved
James,
with that.
Why would they not?
No. I'm speaking in the affirmative there in terms of, okay, the question as you posed it, you know, would you want to do a police person's job? Okay, the person might say no, or the person might say yes. And then again, if they do say yes, okay, why do you want to do this job? You know, can you give me a reason? That question, if it's not asked,
That is an excellent question. Why would you want to do this job?
Exactly.
That should be the first question that is asked of every recruit that comes into a police station and says, I want to be a cop. Why do you want to be a cop? And if they don't answer a certain way, they should be, I'm sorry. Thank
no
you.
No doubt.
Thank you, but no thank you. I agree with you wholeheartedly, James.
And
that
to me,
should be something that asks.
To me, it doesn't matter.
To
me, it doesn't matter in which order that question comes, but like that question should come. Now, coming back to the thing about the apology. Okay, I'll use my own personal situations concerning this or that. Okay, people are known to do just what they want to do. And then just say, okay, I'm sorry for having had done it. But they're not sorry. Oh, okay, I'll throw this out. No, I won't go there. I'll just use my own situation. Okay, it might be funny, but it's true. Because, all right, when I was in Germany, I always tell myself and other people that in a real sense, being that I spent 10 years over there in Berlin, Germany, I consider myself having grown up in Germany. I tell myself and others that I grew up here in America, and I grew up in Germany. But I more so grew up in Germany than in here, because when I was in Germany, I was imbued with consciousness. I'll put it like that. Okay, now, having said that, okay, I came to find myself in the predicament wherein I could be sitting on the subway, on the train. It don't matter what they call it, subway train. I could be sitting on the subway train. And let me tell you, Martin, not one time, not two times, but all the time, someone would get on the train, walk past every foot that's there on the train, but step on my foot. Now, in the beginning, I had to wonder, was that an accident or was it purpose? Because
so they skipped everybody's foot but yours.
I just said that. Yes, they did.
Wow.
They stepped on no one's foot but mine. And then now, like I said, I was perplexed. I didn't know what. I mean, accident, purpose, but why on purpose? Come on. Would somebody just do that? But let me tell you, yes, they did. And then again, how I know that they walked by every foot but mine and stepped on mine was because when the train was stopped, okay, before, while the train is in motion, I'm reading a book or distracted in some way or fashion. I'm distracted more so than not reading a book. And motherfucker would step on my foot. I said, what the fuck? But what would happen is that I began, when the train would stop, the door would open, I would tell myself, observe, watch what happens. And I would see that MF, male or female, walk past every foot but mine, but step on my foot. And then have the nerve to tell me, well, in their language, ensure the gunk, or ensure against the bitter, which meant excuse me, or excuse me, I'm sorry. Okay, listen, now that I know they do it purposely, I'm a patient person. I'm a rational person. I'm a reasonable person. What I would do is I would wait. After they stepped on my foot, I would wait until they went to sit wherever they were going to sit, or I would wait until they went to stand wherever they were going to stand if there were no seats to be taken. And once they were in their, how can I put it, their stationary position, I would get up from where I sat, walk over to them, and step right back on their foot and tell them, ensure the gunk. And then just walk right back to my seat and sit down and continue reading my book. So, like I said, a person will do what they want to do to you and tell you that they're sorry. They're sorry don't mean shit, especially if they have disrespected you in any manner, shape, form, or fashion. So, therefore, this cop, having done what he did to that girl, and have the gall to offer some kind of apology, that, and, no, apology not accepted.
I don't think he was going to win anyway, because had he not apologized, he would have got slammed for not apologizing.
Well,
and so, no, seriously, had he not apologized, because I remember they said the same thing about, remember when the Trayvon Martin thing went about, that was one of the things that they slammed him for in the media. He never apologized to the family. You're never going to win in those situations. You either apologize or you don't. But either way, you're still going to get criticized.
Well, but like, it doesn't matter what whomever else says. What does matter is what the victim of that aggression says or don't say. And then again, based upon what I have read also via the internet, this young girl's lawyer, she says that his resigning is not the end, that they're going to take it further.
Of course there's going to be a lawsuit. This is a litigious society we live in.
There's
going to be millions of litigious, excuse me, everybody has a word for the day, everybody is litigious. Litigious meaning that we are a society of people that will sue for the greatest or the least slights in this world. We are the one country in the world that people have a cottage industry of being offended, and they're going to sue somebody to get some money out of it. So trust me, when this happened, I already knew that the shyster lawyers, they were lining up to see who's going to represent everybody. There's somebody right now who saw this. They probably weren't approached by the police or anything. Somebody saw this. It affected them. They have some emotional problems now. And they're going to get a lawyer, and they're going to sue this cop because it affected them that much that they need to get some recompense.
Well, yes and
AKA
no to that.
Some dollars.
But you know what? Thurgood Marshall, he has something, a quote, he has said something about that. He has said that, okay, concerning lawyers, if they're not about in a real sense of social transformation, he said, then those lawyers are actually parasites, but that's another issue. But right now we have to go into a music break, and this is from a song from Spliff Star featuring Busta Rhymes and Bugs Calhoun entitled Big Ring. So here is Spliff Star, Busta Rhymes, and Bugs Calhoun, Big Ring.
Busta Bus.
You would think I play ball for these big rings. You would think I play ball for these big rings. You would think I play ball for these big rings.
Nah, niggas be hoping that this type of shit ain't soon. Niggas be hoping that I stop fucking their ass up soon. Well, that shit ain't happening no time soon. Paper Rock Conglomerate, yo. Now why can you fuck shit up again until the dance starts?
Damn, son.
So many zeros in my checks, can you imagine when I cash one? Pass some of them bottles around like we a man. Pardon my team for pulling up in couple Aston Martins, and I'm farting and I'm shitting on you niggas like, look what we be starting. Tell you niggas get it right, bottles full of arson. Sorry niggas need a
right.
Prior to that heat, I might lock shit down a little. From stepping in the spot, I hope you don't mind. Disrespect it. These bitches call me Dolce Rhymes, and you don't say I'm the pressure you don't mess with. Press up on you niggas, turn your face into a press kit. Yeah, you heard the messenger. Get with the commissioner. Hot shit, that's why I walk with a fire extinguisher. Double shot of Tron, should be calling shit a Dillinger. 40 karat yellow diamond, pinky ring will kill him, bro.
You would think I play ball for these big rings. Would you think I play ball for these big rings? Would you think I play ball for these big rings? Ball for these play ball. For you would think I play ball. Watch me do my thing, I'm like Gold Bucks McDonald, all these carrots in my brain, Sierra Leone stone, that costs a small fortune, but it ain't nothing to a general when he's bossing, coming down the lane with rings, they never seen me and my team, we getting cream and looking so clean, you would think I was a pledge of Bob Duke Kareem, hitting bands fast as part of my routine, yeah, you would think I play ball, the way I do this, I'm born the way I do this, I'm painting the town, riding, see me stunting in my new whip, mashing on the gas with a pocket full of gas, they thinking it's D-Wade when I'm rolling down the Ave now. It's the go-getter, get more cheddar, general, but count so much numbers in my ledger, I could get a big ring for every day of the week. I got my jeweler like a doctor on call. You would think I play ball. You would think I play ball for these big ring balls. You would think I play ball for these big ring balls. You would think I play ball for these big ring balls. For these play ball for these big ring balls. I put in work for these big rings. You gon' need a black card for these big rings. Tight words, got your boy rockin' iceberg. Julie hitting up my iPhone first serve. I ball like Dr. Julius Earth. And when I shoot, I'm ahead, call me Larry Bird. I'm a legend in anything that you did already. In other words, everything you say in the cemetery. A ball spin it, 20 years I did it. I'm the whole mansion. Nigga, you just shittin', you can catch me in the club with my diamonds so loud. DJ can't play like nigga, turn your shit down. I bring like Dubai, hard to buy. You cops are gonna get damn leash to drive. But this you gonna need a little time, homie. This is big ring shit, not small money. You think I play ball for these big ring ball? You would think I play ball for these big ring ball? You would think I play ball for these big ring ball? For these play ball for these big ring? You would think I play ball for these big ring ball? You would think I play ball for these big ring ball? You would think I play ball for these big ring ball? For these play ball for these big ring?
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society. This is, we're listening to Dollhouse Radio, first of all, and this is Urban Society. Okay, we just heard Spliff Star featuring Busta Rhymes and Bugs Calhoun with their song entitled Big Rings. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you want to talk to us, please do press 1. Okay, let's stay on this issue for one more minute because I have something else, an article here about some Florida high school principal being removed from his principal position because he actually said that cop did a good job. It says here, I'll read something briefly. It says a Florida high school principal has been removed from his post for defending a white Texas police officer filmed. It says North Miami senior high school principal Alberto Iber had posted the comment on Miami Herald Report, according to the paper. He did nothing wrong. He was afraid for his life. I commend him for his actions. And then the article goes further to say that this very same guy, it says here that he's a principal, excuse me, that he's also a principal of a high school that is predominantly black.
Mm-hmm.
And he went further to say that, let's see, what did he say here in defense of his post? He said, okay, I support law enforcement and also the community and students that I serve as the proud principal of North Miami Senior High. The comment I posted was simply made as a result of a short video that I watched and my own personal opinion. You know, I guess he felt that, I guess he wanted to post his opinion to indicate that in his opinion, the officer,
yeah,
I mean, come
he was
on.
Stupid.
How can somebody see the officer did no wrong in the way he, but I can tell you, only a racist MF can see that officer did no wrong. And you want to know something concerning racism? Racism is so vicious and so vile that it feeds on both its victims. the victimizer and the victim. In other words, the victimizer, the one who lays the trapping for racism. That person is also a victim of racism just as much as the one that he or she think they are victimizing. And then again, it comes to a point wherein sometimes, you know, the gods of racism have to be propitiated with either the victim or the victimizer. And in a case like this, that cop, if he had been fired or resigned, he's one of those whom are propitiating the gods of racism. But then again, this principal who, well, in other words, these guys are scapegoats because the system of racism is so vile that you know, to maintain itself. They figure, well, you know, hey, we can't all be innocent. You know, we gotta throw the people some bones, and that's what they do concerning, you know, the ones
And you know something? I'm glad that you said it like that because, to be honest with you, to me, the most dangerous part of that entire story is that this man was removed for basically expressing his opinion.
But hold on.
I know what you're going to say, but you know something? I don't want to live in this country that they can do that to somebody. I was one of the few people who said that Sterling, the owner of the L.A. Clippers, I didn't believe he should have had his team taken from him. I didn't think Jimmy the Greek should have lost his job, or Al Campanis for saying the things that they said. Some of the things are ignorant. Some of the things are ill-advised. Some of the things are just downright wrong and racist. But you know something? I would rather live in a country where we tolerate idiots than we have people that say, I know better than you. What you said was wrong. I'm going to take everything away from you because you did that. I don't want to live in that country. People can say I'm wrong for that. I agree with the same people that agreed that the Nazis should have been allowed to. There were Jews who said The Nazis should be allowed to march at Skokie. People didn't understand why they did that. These people want you destroyed. How can you say? Because there has to be a place in this world where people are allowed to express themselves. See, it's easy for the majority, you know, for the majority to get what they want because they are the majority. They have the power. Freedom of speech is for the minority, for the unpopular.
I disagree.
The people who have no, I agree. Freedom of speech is for those who do not have the power to basically enforce their speech. That's why you had the Jehovah's Witnesses who have been in the Supreme Court and upheld the Supreme Court for years. You have the Amish. They are not popular groups. But guess what? It ain't for the popular. Freedom of speech is not for the popular. Freedom of speech means that somebody can say something so vile and disgusting.
No, well, you say that, Martin, but I got to totally disagree with that. No.
Then you're not living in America then, James.
No.
Then you're not living in America.
Listen. I mean, how can I put it? What's that word? Well, I want to say, to your mind, intellectually, perhaps I'm not, but like that's not the proper word I want to use. But no, coming into like what you're saying there, you had said okay that like freedom of speech is for the minority. Did you say that, or did you say for the unpopular?
For the unpopular.
Okay, that's what you said. And see, in my opinion, freedom of speech is for everybody. However, it's just like the situation of freedom. Freedom is, please listen. Freedom is for everybody. However, whomever do have freedom, they have to realize that freedom comes with responsibility. Freedom isn't just, a license. Freedom comes with responsibility, and then again, those who do those who do have freedom, they should act responsibly with that freedom in which they do have. Same thing with freedom of speech and or freedom of expression. A person, people, should act responsibly with their freedom of speech and or expression. And then again, going back to the old Pat phrase, a person should have freedom of speech or does have freedom of speech, but don't have the freedom of speech to stand up in a crowded theater and holler fire. They have the freedom of speech. Listen, they have the freedom of speech to do that, but is it proper? Is it responsible?
The Supreme Court upheld the Nazis marching in Skokie. Including a black Supreme Court justice by the name of Thurgood Marshall.
Well, okay, to that I'll just say
I don't want to. And the thing is, who decides?
Who
is the one who decides, James? Who do you decide? Are we going to have it where a few people decide? Okay, this is acceptable. This is not acceptable. Who decides?
Well, okay. Supposedly rational reasoning.
But who are you to say what's rational and what's not rational?
Listen, what I'm saying. There is a criteria for. I won't say anybody. But I would just say, well, I don't know what to say to this, but then again, there is a criteria for rationality. There is a criteria for all those things that pertain to rationality. That's just my opinion. But, okay, we're moving right along here, but then again, okay, I wanted to have thrown in that, but then again, we got sidetracked into, you know, that issue about what is right, what is wrong, and then again, freedom, and then again, freedom of speech. But there's a lot to be said about that, a whole lot to be said about that, just as there's a whole lot to be said about the issue that we are now on. There's a whole lot more to be said about that even, and then again, even about the racial element.
Right.
Well, not even the racist element. There's a lot to be said about that, but unfortunately, we don't have all that time to do that. But still, on the racial situation, and then again, racism. Let us go into the Rachel Dolezal situation. You know, the Spokane, Washington NAACP president. I mean,
right.
Well, like I've seen a lot of things on Facebook. And in essence, like a lot of people bashing this woman, you know. And then again, some even say that you know, it's a situation of her being in blackface. But I don't really see that. But what do you what's your take on this?
You know something, and like you know me, man, I like to take a wide lens view of everything. I don't just like to focus in on one little aspect. I like to do a wide lens. And I found it very amusing that African Americans were so outraged that this woman decides to impersonate a black person. And people are so upset and enraged, and they are so upset about that. And yet, nobody is even the least bit perturbed about a grown man who has lived his life for 60 years as a man and decides that he's a woman all of a sudden.
But some people are.
And I'm referring
like
to Caitlyn Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
You mean to tell me you folks are upset about a white woman pretending she's black, and here you got a man who's been a man for over 60-some-odd years of his life, and all of a sudden he decides he's a woman, and y'all just going to accept it? That, to me, was the most shocking thing that I saw on social media, and I saw a lot of people, you know, like Charlamagne Tha God, who actually agree with me, and I don't usually agree with anything that Charlamagne Tha God says. That's a reckless brother, but he's funny, though. But I just thought that was very, I love irony, and I just thought that was very ironic that people were so much more accepting of something as ridiculous as Caitlyn Jenner. And people were so condemning of this woman who was trying to act black.
But you want to know something?
That to me was shocking. That was shocking to me.
But to me, it's not necessarily, well, it's not even shocking. And I mean, talking into it from the perspective in which you're speaking on it right now, to that I would say that's because in some way homosexuality has become more normalized than being black.
Oh, I agree.
It actually has.
I told somebody in the next 10 years, if we don't halt this culture assault in its tracks, somebody who is heterosexual, what we call normal now, you're going to be the one abnormal. Why are you not having sex with the same sex? They're going to look at you like you crazy.
But see, that's...
Nah, I like having sex with the same, with the opposite sex. What? They're going to look at you like you crazy.
Well, we had done a show before wherein a long time ago, last year even, where I was speaking about, you know, it seemed to me even at that time that there was, in fact, a homosexual agenda being put forth.
Oh, yeah.
And then again, I mean, even going into, like, what you just said, you know, there was really no blowback on like, Caitlyn Jenner. But then again, on this person, Rachel Dolezal, there's a lot of blowback on her. But then again, that stemmed from, like I said, homosexuality is more accepted than being black. But at the same time, you know, the homosexual person wants to say.
Can you, hold on, James, can you just say that one more time? I think people need to hear what he just said. One more time, and let that sink in.
Well,
say that one more time, please, James.
Well, basically, you know, homosexuality is more accepted than being black, basically.
Wow.
That's what it is. But
that to me is shocking.
Well.
but not shocking at the same time.
Well.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, in my
opinion. It's shocking, but it's not shocking. Because I just think that this, like I say, I call it a culture war. Excuse me if I stole the title from your book, Bill O'Reilly, Don't Sue Me. But I'm just saying, there's a culture war going on. And my thing is this. For folks to be up in arms over this woman who apparently put some weave in, maybe put a little kinky hair in there, okay. But you have someone who is removing their masculinity, getting breasts, wearing a dress. And you're all cool with that. I'm telling you, James, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, and winter is not coming, my friend. Winter is here. And I let all of y'all let that sink in on what I just said, because it is truly, to me, it scares the living hell out of me. It really does. It really does, James. I'm completely being completely honest. It scares the hell out of me.
Well, to me, it don't really scare me because still, in a real sense, homosexuals are a minority. I mean, a real minority, and the heterosexual population is basically the majority. And then again, it's going to stay that way because I put it okay. How can I put it? I was listening to this guy. His name is Umar Johnson. I don't really want to say it's unfortunate that he is more so of the black nationalist persuasion, which causes a lot of people to be turned off from what he says. But he has said something interesting while I was listening to him at a certain occasion. He has said that, and also he's also a clinical psychologist. He has said that that of all the homosexual patients that he has dealt with, he has said that basically their homosexuality stemmed from a negative childhood experience in terms of they have been molested as a child, and then again, you know, excuse me. And then again, you know, you have the situation of, you know, that person coming up talking about, you know, they were born that way. And he says, like, you know, it's understandable that a person would put forth that front, you know, to avoid having to deal with the issue of having been violated as a child. They would put forth the front of born this way as opposed to having to deal with the sexual violation, that trauma even that they endured as a child. That made perfect sense to me. But however, granted, I mean, I would never go along with the put forth statement that somebody is born that way. No, it is in fact a learned and choice type situation. I mean, there are a lot of people who want to say no, but see me, I like to talk. And you know, I like talking with a person of the homosexual persuasion, male or female. I don't mind talking with them. And then again, I have talked with some. And then again, well, unfortunately, they walk away with not happy. But I wonder, like, hey, where you going? I mean, is it over? You know, the conversation. Let's talk some more. But they don't want to talk to me no more. But then again, I'm always willing to engage in that. Let me say, for lack of a better word or term, that intellectual discussion on homosexuality. What it is or isn't. Is it, you know, born this way or just a choice thing? Because even, let's say, coming from the theological perspective even, the God perspective even, a person who is homosexual and or decides to be transgender, in essence, what are they thinking other than that God, if they believe in God, that God made a mistake and they know better than God? It has to be that way. But well, it's a long story there, but then again, that's my thinking on that. But again, that's that issue within that. But like coming back to this Rachel Dolezal person, you know, what also gets me about her is that there's so much to say about her, primarily because she's going in the opposite direction. Normally, it's blacks who are wanting to be white. Through whatever it means or mental stratagems, they want to be white. However, here is a white person who is wanting to be black. And then now, you know, I was watching Melissa Harris Perry today. She's on MSNBC, and she was really putting up a quasi-mental construction as to what we might refer to this person as. You know, not that she's a nut. She don't want to say that, and I'm not saying that she's a nut per se. But the main thing I'm saying here is that Melissa Harris Perry didn't want to just come out and call her odd. Even she was trying to, you know, construct words to legitimize what she is doing and has done. And I couldn't help but like marvel at some of her guests. They were kind of like snickering at her inability to come forth with the proper wording of what she was trying to say concerning this situation. Some people even calls it transracial. What the hell does that mean? Does it mean anything at all? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. But yet here's a word that, you know, somebody trying to understand this quasi intellectually, transracial. It don't make sense. But yet people are trying to put that construction upon it in the hope. Of trying to explain something that can't really be explained, other than it's just something that a person wants to do. That's all it is. And then again, going back to what you're basically saying, if she wants to do that, why aren't we in support of her doing what she's doing, just as so many people are in support of the homosexual, the LGBT situation? It's different. But there are similarities there, and by the same token, you know, a lot of people, I guess homosexuals in particular, they are offended by people trying to understand this woman on the same level as we have come to understand homosexualism. Or not as we have come to understand homosexualism and or transgenderism and or the all these words that they're throwing at us, man, the LGBT community. You know, the LGBT community has put forth a lot of quasi intellectual phenomena out here to justify themselves. But are they really justifying themselves? I don't think so. To some, they have.
But, James, guess what? If Melissa Harris Perry and her panel had been snickering and laughing at somebody in the LGBT community, number one, she would have been suspended before she got off the air.
No.
She would have been forced. She would have been for her, or members of her panel would have probably been fired from the network. They would have been forced to apologize for being insensitive. But that's the thing we're talking about. How is it that this woman is viewed as a borderline nutcase for wanting to be black? But Caitlyn Jenner is going to be honored at to me, one of the most disgusting displays of what do you call it? One of them, I think that Disney and ESPN, they will do nothing. there won't be a depth that they won't go to try to, you know, advertise their brand. To put her up as somebody who is courageous to get the Arthur Ashe Award because you decide you want to be a man, a woman, after all these years, that makes you courageous. How about that young athlete who died of cancer? How about you put the courage that she showed? I'm sorry. I'm done with this Caitlyn Jenner mess.
But, you know, to me, all of this, even as I said before, you know, about, well, like my phrase about, you know, the homosexual agenda being pushed on us in the society. What I would say about that even, let me see, I think I kind of lost my train of thought there. Yes, here it is. You know, to me, all of this actually indicates the situation of fact that there are a lot of homosexuals in this country. I'm not talking about other countries. I'm just talking about this country right here, our country right here. There are a lot of homosexuals actually in high places of influence.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it is. That's all it is. It really has nothing to do with it being, well, they don't care if it's right or wrong because evidently they don't. They don't care if it's right or wrong, moral or not, or harmful or not. They care nothing about that. All they care is about what they want to do. And then again, it's the thing about, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what you say. You know, you can say what you want to say about me. I'm going to be me. And hey, and because they got the cash, they can throw it here, throw it there, and give it here, give it there. And if you don't agree with them, they'll take back what they gave you or make sure you don't get nothing that you're supposed to get. You know, it's
right.
It is, in fact, just that vicious. And the thing is, this is why, you know, this don't surprise me that that so much is being said about, you know, Caitlyn Jenner. And then again, you know, so much is being said about the LGBT community. This is why this don't surprise me, because I'm very much aware that a lot of money is involved here. And like I said before, when I was on the other show, the LGBT community is moneyed. They have a lot of money. They have a lot of money to propagate what they want to do. And also, like a lobby. You know, they talk about all these lobbies in Washington. The LGBT.
Special interest group.
They're
a huge special interest group.
Well, because you got to figure, a lot of those people in those special interest groups are a part of the LGBT situation. Although on the down, on the down low, because that's just the way it is. I mean, I'm saying all that I'm saying, but at the same time, I just say, hey, I mean, you know, let a person do what they want to do. But at the same time, hey, don't try to push that on me.
Yeah,
I mean, at the same time, you know, don't tell me that I'm not open-minded because I don't agree with like what you're pushing. No, I don't have to like what you like. No. I got a mind just like you got a mind. And if my mind, you know, goes one way and I'm that way and yours go another way, you're that way, fine. But don't try to tell me that they're like I'm wrong or in some way insufficient. Come on, no, but like that's the way it is currently. Outrageous. Just outrageous. But also, you know, concerning this woman, going backwards, you know, from wanting to be white to wanting to be black. Like I said before, it is a situation that's really unheard of in this country. And it's only natural that, like, a lot of people don't even understand it. I mean, they don't understand it primarily because a lot of people in this country are trying so hard to be white, to emulate white. They want to know, what's wrong with this woman? Is she crazy? Don't you know what being black is like? And matter of fact, Martin, I have talked with people. Perhaps I shouldn't have. Perhaps I should have been offended, but I wasn't because I listen when people talk. I have talked with people who told me, Caucasian people, who have told me, I'm telling you it's true. But then again, understand, we are talking. They told me if I was black, James, I'd kill myself. And I just tell them, well, yo, be glad you're not black. But like
yeah,
I said,
I agree. I'm not shocked that people would actually believe that, because they see what we go through every day.
And
just to leave, to come to work in the morning, they see what we go through.
Listen. They were just. This person I was talking to was just looking at me, you know, seeing what I was going through. And he said, "Damn, James, when you going to give up?" And this was like maybe 20 years ago. I was only in my mid 20s. He said, "Damn, James, when you going to give up?" And then again, he said that what he said. But then again, he wasn't the only one who had said some dumb shit like that. And I just told him, "Well, just be glad you're not black." Fuck that shit. But like I said, I should have been insulted. Somebody telling me something like that, but I wasn't. I said, "Well, hey, you know, he can express that thought, you know." But okay, we're coming up, No Doubt Martin, on our last seconds, because it's like maybe a 1 minute to the hour where we have to close off. So, what do you want to say?
I think these discussions are helpful. We should continue the dialogue. Continue, and the most important thing, look for common ground and look for solutions.
I would agree with that. And then again, that goes back into, you know, individuals being reasonable in their rationality. You know, it's all a part of that. And don't remember, people, that we will not be on next Sunday. We'll be back the Sunday over next. And we're going to wish everybody well. Happy Father's Day to me.
Happy Father's Day.
Urban Society signing off.
Peace.
Hey, you need to be slipping with me, shouty.
I'll let your boy
come get with Young Dro.
Best stay smoking.
Hey, Dro, you know I ride all kind of paint.
Okay.
When you look in my pocket, you'll think you at the bank. Irene Chris, so you know that thing stink. Bright diamonds on my nigga, make your eye look like a chain. I tell you what I think, you wanna ride with a killer. Your girl jockin', but pimpin', do not wanna hit her. I'm trying to slip you off, finish shit in white frost. They ask you to tell them you ain't a king in a boss.
And I said, who is that cutie standing over there? Oh, I never seen you, but I'd be glad to meet you.